You know, Gisela has an appointment to do some blessing for a needy person. So, basically, you know, that might take at least half an hour or something, and then he need to eat. So, you know, I know if you have planned to visit him today, maybe postpone it for next Sunday or something. Okay. In that way, that blessing can be done and he can eat and, you know, on time, because he also has some health issue, need to eat on time. So. Okay, the judgment.
Yeah. Do you Yeah.
Let me remind all of ourselves to take a moment and cultivate the bodhicitta motivation, that is an aspiration seeking complete enlightenment for the benefit of all other sentient beings. And with that kind of motivation and with which to engage in the teaching and put into practice, we should participate in this teaching. Allow me to read a couple of passages from this Lamrim text, volume number 1, to give you the blessing of oral transmission.
Tele
Recapitulate some of the key points that we had talked about before, and we are continuing our conversation now, is that we said we really need to think about our future lives and, you know, future existence, if you will. And so when we reflect on that matter, what we can see is that we could either be in what we call the fortunate states of rebirth or happy migration, as we say, or we could be in the unfortunate states of rebirth or, you know, bad migration. So categorically speaking, it seems like there are only two ways to choose from that we could find ourselves in. And so then we look at our own present conditions and, you know, in existence. And one of the things that we had talked about earlier is the need for us to cultivate awareness of impermanence of life and transitoriness of things in our life. And a part of that whole meditation is how one day we are sure to die, isn't it? There's nothing mystery about that. That is a fact of life. And so when we think about that, you know, there is nothing that can prevent the death. Okay? And so you might, you know, be frightened by that notion, that idea that, my goodness, one day I have to die and leave everything behind. Just simply being scared of death doesn't serve any purpose. And there's really no meaning to that. Okay. Perhaps the more important question to ask is, once we die, then what happens, you know, thereafter? Okay. Is there a such thing as, you know, next life, or, you know, a future existence, as we would say? And as we have been talking about, so there are two ways, you know, for our future: a happy way to do it, or the, you know, unhappy way to do that. And so we started to talk about, one of the unhappy states that we could find ourselves in is called hell, right? Hellish existence. And we talked about all different types of hells that we could find ourselves in if we are not careful to conduct our lives and way of thinking here and now. Okay. And now you and I, who have been engaging in Dharma for a while, you know, many of you have been in Dharma for many, many years. I recognize that. You know, sometimes we might get that kind of sense of the feeling that, you know what, I don't think I have created really much of negativity, so I really don't create negative karma, so to speak. But we really need to perhaps look a little more deeply inside, that even if we create what might be considered as an insignificant negative karma or negativity, you know, with time, that insignificant bad karma could really become a serious, you know, matter. Yeah. And also, you know, one of the things we talk about is how this is not only life, you know, that we have ever experienced. You know, we had many previous rebirths, as we would say, and we will have, you know, many in the future. And so when we look from that broader perspective on life, so to speak, what we see that in our previous lives, yes, we had done many good things, but also perhaps we had done many negative karmas. So a lot of those karmic imprints still could be, you know, in our mind or consciousness. Okay. And so unless we purify ourselves of those imprints of the negative karmas, you know, one of these days, you know, they will be activated by conditions, and then we will have to, as you would say, pay the price. Okay. I think very important thing for all of us to do is really, we are not here to sort of, you know, evaluate and judge what somebody else is doing or not doing, but we are here really educating ourselves to take into account and maybe look at our own lives and say, in a day, what kind of karmic activities do I find myself creating and accumulating? Is it more of a positive karma or more of a negative karma, or equal of the same measure, or whatever the case may be? Okay? And so that will give us, you know, a certain sense of our own, if you will, a purpose of life and where we find ourselves in. And so if we do find that we have created, you know, a lot more negativities than positive actions, I mean, we don't have to be really freaked out, so to speak, because right now we are very fortunate to be alive. and we can do confession and we can do purification practices. And that's the whole point of, you know, reflecting on this kind of a state of affairs of ourselves so that, you know, we can apply, you know, different antidotes to counteract our delusions, negativities, and engage in purification practices so that these karmas, you know, do not have to ripen upon us in the future. Yeah. And so we have to look at, you know, from that, you know, point of view. And so if we don't purify our negative karmas, then what happens is really we can't expect, you know, a good future existence, because either we might end up in, as we said, one of the hell, you know, hellish experiences or states, or that we might, you know, find ourselves in other, what's called relatively, maybe better, but other kind of, you know, existence, such as we call the animal world and things like that. Okay. And so as we take those into account, the last thing, as Geshe-la said, is, you know, we come to realize that we do create more negativities than positive things, you know, even with the best of our efforts, so to speak, because we are in samsara, you know, in some way we are conditioned in many ways. So that being the case, how can we remain very complacent and contented with our life as if, you know, everything is hunky-dory, as you would say. It is not. So be kind of honest to our own sort of a state of affairs and, you know, figure it out. Yes.
我提他的也得别的，现在如果现在拍到么子，个看见什么就千万不到的，现在成熟当然说些，没有啥，你要弄个什么什么好些，结果在拍到没有那意思是不的，这商业毕竟人家学生，这个生意情况，感觉他那可能是你我修啥呢？这是学过么的，干干脆对了，别那，但是这真给这不成不起呢，你光学了学过么了，搞点给对了吧？
他说：“你我什么人呢？不是想从最近的学过，没什么感受结果了吧？讲这些，因为每个节目虽然说不，咱们就送了了，什么魅力结果了吧？我今天三年的时候不给三，感觉高度这不拥抱现在所谓呢，对的呀，因为什么东西在了呀，也记住下的，这些用过了吧？他说弄些啊，这不还是一些搞的，学习了用过没事了是吧？什么都可以拥抱，搞的可以，是我现在继续的。” 你你，现在就什么过的？这里现在的，你去马些刚刚的要的是的，去年的是的了呀。那我们去完呀，去完没到成就的马的是，你肯定让人管得着是吧？嗯，是。但去完没到成，可是就是起码看到，起码这里现在都能，你把门口锁的，那他都退了去马的是吧？但感觉他太偏这边干一阵子，因他在这不过的，说是农业生活，他在生活他不要的是，有的送的，这应该生意些的。
And why I'm, I mean, making a bit of effort here and try to emphasize the point that when we talk about, you know, death and dying or impermanence of life or the suffering in the three unfortunate states of rebirth, you know, we're not doing that just to, you know, what's called frighten ourselves or just, you know, make ourselves unhappy. I mean, we really don't need to do that. As we had talked about this, you know, some time ago, that with regard to the sense of fear towards the death, you know, everybody mostly has that. You know, even those people who have no interest in any kind of spirituality or, you know, things like that, because nobody really wants to die. You know, everybody wants to exist, you know, as we say. So that's kind of a, you know, sense of fear is really not useful if that's all there is to it, you know. So here we are really taking that sense of fear into account, that how can we utilize that to plan better for our future lives and future rebirth? Is there really a way to deal with, you know, death, you know, in a better sense, and then we can prepare ourselves better for the future? If we see that purpose and we utilize that sense of fear and the knowledge in that way, then it's good. That's how we should. By focusing on death and dying, impermanence of life, other things, it just started to make us much more, you know, unhappy and all of those things. It's just freaking out. Well, better stop doing it. You know, who wants that? You know. And so as Geshe-la, I mean, says here, that from spirituality point of view, we talk about these difficult matters and issues because, you know, there is a way out and there is a hope for the future. Okay. And the example he has given is that, you know, someone who has committed quite a serious crime, Okay? And he or she has to pay the price for that. You know, has to serve the term of the punishment. But at the same time, if this person knows someone up in that whole system, criminal system, whatever, who could help him and say, you know what, well, you are not going to lose your life, but you have to pay the price, you know. And hereafter, if you really commit yourself not to repeat it again, I'm going to help you to minimize the term limit or whatever the case may be, and then trust that person. And then, you know, somehow still you get to live your life. Yeah. So in a sense like that, what we try to do is we say, you know what, okay, you know, there are the three jewels we call Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, in whom we can place our trust completely. Okay? And if we follow, Buddha's teachings and cultivate in practice, then we can truly help ourselves, and we really don't have to be too much scared of death and dying, and all the suffering of the three bag migrations that we talk about. Okay? So as I said earlier, that right now we are all very fortunate, and we are living this life, so we have the resources and the facilities, and so do the thinking in order to bring more sort of a balanced state of mind, okay? Not to scare ourselves completely, or not to be so complacent with our life and oh my gosh, my life is full of excitement, and so what is there to worry about? As if as the great masters say, when we find ourselves in those two extreme conditions, either we are too happy, as we would say ordinarily excited, and life is great, we miss a lot of opportunities to practice Dharma, because that is all, very, what called distracting. But then on the other hand, if we find ourselves in agony and, all this, tragedy and a lot of suffering and stress, again, it's very difficult for us to do practice. So where we really find a good condition for our practice is when we are sort of more in a balanced mind. Our mind's not too excited, but our mind is not agonizing and depressed and all those things. Somewhere, right, there's a normalcy, as you would say. That is a good situation for our reflection, contemplation, meditation, and practice. Okay. Mostly.
시동 시도 시나 아니 배 냠다 네바다 와 냠다 수라 때나 배용 차 여러와 어 드려서 간지 어 동 삼마다 한다 간지 배는 뭐지 세 비지 무슨 뭐는 거 자이지 말아 이제 때들 여바 신는데 제거 어디 자고 어디 여바 또 야 이나 샤브 종알 드리 누구도 와 내가 나기 근데 간도 단다 데다 미게 집에 넣으시나 근데 낙제의 충휴 되라 네 먼저 드저로부터 먹으셔야 낙제세야 돼 누구다 세상 낙제다한테 세야 되니까 근데 마디 제보도 충휴게 담죠 제보 범위에 담셔야 돼 간지 차상 배야게 담 간지 먼저 해야 돼 근데 낙제스고 와 세상 낙제스 먼저 비지 예배 차를 비지 향거리 다 다리기와 줄사야 고 줄사야 소리 다서 지지 이라 고야 녀가야 그래서 다 에데 미겨 주게 녀와다 녀저 째알레 디과 이지 미세다 기와여 버셔다 녀보 맨네 고 디제 셴보 이 미겨 녀서 제그라 세다 어디 사사 셔버레 스테즈모도 다 먼저 낙제시야 저 먼저 염중요로 와 세다 염중토 다가 저 찍바 이지레 가가 계절 가오 이지레 다가지
So one of the points Kishala has made is that, you know, those of us, you know, who have been engaging in Dharma or the teaching for a while, you know, we might come to this kind of a sense like, you know what, I really don't create negativities and I don't think I have really almost like ever done any negativity. Okay? And Kishala gives himself as an example. He said, you know, I never think I really do anything negative. Okay, but really we have to... You know, think more broadly and deeply and carefully and find out what the situation is. And one example Kesala gives, you know, that we all might have, whether willingly or unwillingly, whatever, might have killed an insect here or there. Well, that is a negativity. As small as it may be, what from our point of view, but the fact of the matter is, you know, a small negativity like that, with the passage of time, you know, its intensity increases like anything and it becomes a serious negativity. Now the same goes with what we call positive action as well. Okay? Even a small, what we might consider insignificant positive action with the passage of time, provided that that positive action is not destroyed by anger or anything like that, it will also increase like anything. Okay? And so as you know, Geshe-la has quoted a stanza from his memory, from Arya Nagarjuna's, you know, letter to a friend, or is translated as friendly letter here, yeah, Shurulekh. And so it says that, you know, if we look at ourselves, we might find that there's certain action, and we are thinking more about the negativity than positive, because that's where our concern is, that you know, we find ourselves doing, you know, almost every day, habituation. So that kind of a negativity, even if less is a small, you know, it really amounts to a lot with the passage of time. So look at, you know, our own habituated action. What kind of action do we seem to perform every day? Okay, that's one way to look at it. The another one is where there is no antidote, meaning that, you know, if, you know, we, you know, create any negativity, if you don't apply antidote to counteract it, to purify it, then that negativity, as I just said earlier, it will increase with passage of time. Okay? Or in the case of positive action, you know, a small positive action will also increase with passage of time, provided that there is no antidote it, meaning it is not destroyed by certain destructive emotion, particularly anger. Okay? Anger destroys a lot of our merit. And another thing is we have to look at our, the way it is literally put is, nguyen means this grasping attitude. But the explanation given on this is, we have to check with our motivation, right? When we engage in any action, you know, it precedes usually with certain motivation. And in the case of negativities, the motivations are usually, either it is like, you know, anger or, you know, hostility, or one of those versions of the anger, as we would say, then it becomes a very serious negative action. Because when you do something with very angry attitude in mind, that adds to the intensity of the karma negative. Okay? Or maybe we engage in the negative karma out of this obsessive attachment and, you know, that sticky attitude, as well, or maybe stinking attitude, perhaps. or that we really engage in with what are called ignorance, right? So those are the motivational factors for negativities that we engage in. The stronger those motivational factors are, the stronger would be our negative karmic actions accordingly. Yeah, and these are the things we have to purify. Otherwise, they will bring huge negative outcomes to the results. In the case of the positive actions, of course, there are motivational factors as well. If you do a positive action out of really, you know, as you say, true love or compassion, even better would be great compassion, Mahakaruna, Mahametri, Bodhicitta, tremendous faith in the Dharma and teaching, right? Then those positive actions also become very strong and powerful positive actions as well. Yeah. And so we have to keep those things in our mind. An example Geshe-la has given, like out of really this tremendous positive motivation, even if we offer just one incense stick, we call pe, that simple action become a tremendously positive karmic action. Yes, but motivation plays a very important role. Now, the same thing with the negativity. With a tremendous negative motivation, even if, you know, Geshe-la didn't do that, but now I killed a mosquito or something there. That could be a terrible negative karmic action. So the point he's trying to make is, when we talk about how the possibility of being reborn in the bad migrations, it doesn't mean we have to go and kill someone, you know. We don't have to murder someone, assassinate someone. It simply means if we do any of those negativities, if we don't purify those, they can precipitate our rebirth in the bad migrations. Okay? And we especially Dharma practitioners have to think about that, right? After all, we might think like, I've never killed anyone, right? Any human being. Well, at least I know, as far as I can remember. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to be in the hell, because there are a lot of other negativities we might create, and we have to purify those karmas. Okay. Most again. So one of the things I learned from Geshe-la's previous explanation is, this is, I think, to address our notion that maybe as a Dharma interested individuals, if not practitioners, I really don't do many negativities. But when we look at the list of 10 negative actions of body, speech, and mind, one of the, you know, four negative actions of the speech is called idle gossiping, in Tibetan called ngakhyal, right, which we all consider as a fun, right? We can spend all time, like, you know, giving, you know, just talking about everything and anything and yuggity, 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 and at the end of the day, like, oh my gosh, how much fun we had. We should do this one again. Well, it seems like not a big deal, just talk with each other. But usually the talks we have is what we call frivolous talk. It is, you know, mixed either with all these worldly affairs, right? Maybe politics for many people, about the wars and people, about the sex and violence, you know, about all this ordinary stuff then that amounts to a lot of negativity, actually. Okay? And as Geshe-la said, you know, we all might have a different take on that. We say, you know, just talking and, you know, gossiping is a lot of fun. Maybe it is a fun, but then it's also a lot of negative karma. So we have a lot of negative karma to purify. That's the point we are trying to drive, you know, home here, and cannot be complacent with our life. And when we look really deeply at our own life situations, all of us have got what we call these afflictive emotions inside us. Ignorance, right? We always live with ignorance. There's not a moment which says we don't have ignorance. You know, basically, which is difficult for us to understand. This is called grasping at the self, truly existent self, and we are trying to figure that one out, right? But that doesn't mean it isn't there. It is there, and we're always living with it. You know, so we are inseparable from that at the moment. Yeah. Now, in the case of the anger, you know, it's off and on, right? There are days, you know, really bad hair days, and we get upset, and, you know, we throw tantrum, whatever it is. But the other days, we are just cool and fine, and, you know, we don't get angry every day and every moment. We just can't, okay? So it goes and comes, and so when it really comes, if you're not careful, it can be very destructive, and also it destroys a lot of marriage. But it's not always disturbing us, you know. It's not always there, okay? So anger is, the example given by Geshe-la is, anger is like the dirt on the cloth, you know. Yeah, it smells, it's dirty, do your laundry, it's cleaned. Okay. Then we have attachment, again, inseparable from that. Attachment is really considered very insidious. It's just deeply ingrained in us, you know. And it's really one of those underlying factors. So if you engage in any action with that attachment as an underlying motivation, the action becomes negative action. And the example given is attachment is really like, you know, this oil dropped on our cloth. It's very hard to get rid of that. Okay. Maybe go and buy the goof off or something. I'm just kidding. And try. So that's very hard, right? And so we all have, you know, these delusions within our mind. So therefore, if we are honest to ourselves, and at the end of the day, you know, we sort of, you know, take charge of the account and say, you know, what kind of actions have I done this whole day? What kind of things have prompted me, motivated me to do those things? Then we will get a better sense of that. At the end of the day, we say, you know, I have created more negativity. Well, hopefully that inspires us and motivates us to engage in purification practice. That's the whole point to it, isn't it? And we say, you know what? Okay, now I see the relevance of spirituality, purification practice in my life, and that's what I'm going to engage in, and that's fine. Okay. What do we have? Am I leaving anything out? No. So basically, the purpose of talking about death and dying, impermanence of life, this suffering of the hell, and etc., is to really inspire us and to see the connection between, connect the dot between, you know, our need to practice Dharma and what really we would like to have. So if we do that, you know, start off with a very simple and basic thing, we build on that. This is how we hope to attain Nirvana or liberation and hope to become a Buddha. Okay. As it is very much explained and emphasized in the mind training tradition called Lojong, right, thought transformation tradition, where it says that, you know, maybe at the end of the day, every day, you know, as an individual practitioner, we should do the accounting for the day, as I said earlier, right? What kind of actions have I done today? You know, if mostly positive, which is enough things to rejoice in our positive action, and then, you know, kind of, how should I say, boost our spirit, saying, you know what, right, I'm going to do that next, tomorrow also. I'm going to do even better, right? But at the end of the day, we realize, oops, you know, I planned it one way, and, you know, I did something else. Then at least, We regret for the things we have done wrong and purify those things. And then we say, what? Tomorrow I'll try to be better at least. I'm not going to repeat the same thing. So this is the way, you know, we could engage in our everyday practice and started to transform and change ourselves for better and better. Okay? If we don't do that accounting at the end of the day, then we really don't know. Have we done good things or have we done bad things? Are there things to rejoice or are things there to regret? We don't know because I don't know. The day passed by, right? So that's why, you see, we have to take that lesson from the mind training practice. We are in the middle of page 168, so we have these quotations from Bodhisattva Mahasattva Shantideva's engaging in the deeds of Bodhisattva, and then also from Arya Nagarjuna's letter to a friend or Shurulekh. Yeah. And so the thing Gisela has explained here is that you and I might feel like, you know what, talking about all this, the bad migrations, all this stuff about the future, that seems so distant and far off, isn't it? Okay. Really, it is, really not that relevant to me now, as if the next life is really far off. We have a lot of time. As Arya Nagarjuna has stated very well in his letter to a friend, let me read just the first two lines. I don't like the word sinners, but anyway, I'm not here to correct the translation or something. I'm reading simply. Sinners who hear of the boundless sufferings in the hells, separated from them only until the mere termination of their breathing. Well, that's a lot of words to say. What really, differentiates us from the present life and the next life is this breath. When we exhale the breath and can't inhale the breath, the breathing stops, that's it. And that's where we could be in the hell. It's not that far off. It's not like, at a great distance. It's just a matter of when this breathing stops, inhalation and exhalation of the breath stops, then the next life is already here. Okay? And so we have to feel the sense of urgency as well, not as if, things are at a great distance and we don't have to worry about too much right now. And then it goes on to say that even when, usually what happens is, people really, they hear the description or the hells or conditions like that, that really upsets them. They're not happy. Or they look at the paintings of those hellish experiences. I mean, that's just like so unpleasant, disturbing. Okay. But sometimes we as practitioners, we really don't seem to be that much disturbed, even as we hear these things a lot, as if, like our mind has become like a rock. The traditional use is a diamond. Vajra. Okay? So we become very stubborn. We're habituated maybe to listening all this kind of stuff. So we're like, okay, no big deal. There's hell, there's so what? You know? Usually other people, let alone experience the real hell, which is really a terrible thing, just to hear the description and the discourses and the painting, that's so disturbing, right? But us who listen to this a lot of the time, our attitude got so hardened like a diamond or a rock, and really nothing is sinking in. And that's bad, 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 okay? So we need to change that attitude. You know, we have to, we know there are things where we have to be very stubborn and, you know, we have to be determined and we have to be like a diamond and a rock. But there are things we have to be sensitive and flexible and open up and not be uptight, you know. So this is where, as Dharma practitioners, again, we have to look ourselves and see, you know, has my attitude been so hardened like a rock? That now kind of it all becomes a usual thing, you know. I hear all this stuff 10,000 times. Okay, so there it is. Long story.
But when the same dinner is your affair, that when the that language that you read, is it not? And the job when the language the culture that you meet is just a easy. The instant to go, mom, we share it. She should be share your one. Then the she should when the person control the she the out that some same job yet person just liar, right?
Yes.
但是胸前的现在因为你是你这些人是胸前的生因为他过去做就没有下过多所以他想用过但是他上了上不过去他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以他上了也上不过去所以
analyze all these Dharma matters, you know, we should figure out where we really need to take a firm stand, you know, have to be stubborn and determined, or where we really have to even question ourselves and, you know, loosen it up and understand. You know, if our really attitude gets so much hardened by listening to all these, you know, things and, you know, then it's really not affecting us. You know, we really have to be very careful with that sort of thing. And sometimes, I don't know, we human beings, as Keshala says, it's very interesting. You know, sometimes we feel like, you know, we are kind of a tough and, you know, not easily influenced and persuaded. But other times, we get easily persuaded, you know. And if we really don't know the things really deeply, understand deeply, then people can easily persuade us. You know, next time you see somebody, you know, who really is very good in persuasion, like, you know what? Hey, I don't think there's such thing as a Buddha or a Dharma or life after or, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then give you all this, you know, really sounds like very good rational and reasons. You know, it's like, oh, what have I been doing all these years, you know? He sounds about right, you know. He makes sense. See? So we can easily get influenced in that sense, whereas sometimes our attitude is so hardened that we bring the best of the reasons that the Buddha has given, that the great master Nagarjuna has given, we still remain very stubborn. Like, we are really not persuaded, like, yeah, give me a break here, you know, kind of thing, in attitude. So we really have to look within ourselves and find out all the stuff, okay? So that's what we said, you know, there are matters of much importance and, you know, we really have to know and how to protect that. You know, of course we have to, you know, socialize with, you know, people. We have to be friendly to them, respectful to them, you know, sensitive to them, all of those things. But at the same time, you know, there are matters of importance. We don't want to be influenced by others, you know, if we could call it a very negative perspective or, you know, some other kind of perspective, you know. That's why in the one of the precepts that go with the refuge practice is what? We said, having gone for refuge in Sangha, you know, we really do not let ourselves be influenced by, we call trithikas, or you know, people who might follow a different, you know, misleading path. Okay. Now here the thing is, like, it doesn't mean that we should not, should not befriend everybody else. We can be friends, but at the same time we need to know the things that we need to protect from negative influence.
Mm-hmm. dungdu sum ye parma che de ta be dungen ye ye be dungen chungu la ya cha zam du yo dung de me be she ro si ye be nan na ya na mi ji dungen che she de shi du ga je ta de se ge sa ro ji ta de ko ye dungen ta ngon ju ge ta de din ju dungen be sam ta na de ge ga de dungen shi bu jo de di ina ta ये दुंगे चंदा आओ तेरेस कर्जा ये रु दुंगे चंदा ताती ना मैं ये दुंगे ते ने क्या यो रेस ताती चे ता पैड वो ते ते से रो नींजे लो नूं नूं सुम्जा से रो नूं सुम्जा कजे पारो ताने मैं जे जे नूं सुम्जा लो बे लूल अब जा कज निमा निंगा चाब दे वा ते ता इने ये दुंगे रो शिगे ना ती पे छाशी जी आ रो मारे से ता ये दुंगे शेलो रो शिने रो どんどん住み、いや、庭どんが中国来や、シャドウルームに見せる、すどは。うん。で、だ、ティナのや、庭なの、なみせ、だ、投票の時にするわ。うん。で、シャドウ、だ、これ、住み人が、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で
On page 169, we have a quote from Arya Nagarjuna's friendly letter, which gives us kind of a comparative sense of what is the best, you know, highest kind of happiness, if you will, and what's the worst kind of suffering, you know, that's there. And as it's stated here, the highest level of happiness that one can find is in nirvana. Right, when we are completely freed and liberated from samsara, sickly existence, you know, then we have the kind of happiness that lasts forever. But the worst kind of suffering is, as we say, in a particular hell called the unrelenting hell. Before we used to translate as no respite hell, avichi hell, okay, in Sanskrit. Okay. And of all kinds of hell, this is the worst kind, and where the suffering is just completely unimaginable. And so as we have talked about this before also, when we look at lives within samsara, sickly existence, those of us who are very fortunate to be in the better part of the samsara, so to speak, right? But still, we go through a lot of problems, suffering, right? Suffering of birth, probably we didn't know that. Suffering of sickness, we know that. Suffering of aging and suffering of death. And there are many other sufferings in between, right? Not getting what we want and getting what we don't want and, you know, running into the people we don't like and, you know, not meeting the people we want to meet and all kind of stuff happens, you know. But all of this suffering are nothing when we compare the suffering in the hell, world. And so within the hells, as we said, the unrelenting hell has the most suffering. And there's given a description here, you know, that let's say in a day, somebody is going to torture us, like somebody is going to poke into us like 300 times with this, you know, sharp spear right into us. That would be too much suffering, wouldn't it be? But that suffering is even nothing if we compare to the suffering of the beings in the hell realm. Okay, so imagine if we get there, can we really handle it or not? You know, we just can't. And so Geshe-la said, like, now these kind of things we talk about, really, we completely depend on the authentic words of the Buddha, because it is a matter of subtle karma, right? And this is, you know, subtle karma and its outcome are considered as what we call extremely concealed or hidden phenomena, for lack of a better term in English. Okay, we have different types of level of phenomena, but this is the most hidden, where, you know, we have to use reasoning to be able to access that knowledge, but the kind of reasoning we use is only the authentic words of the Buddha, and so beyond that, really, we can't find any other reasons to do this. So oftentimes, traditionally, for people to be able to develop what called belief or accept these things happen, so there will be a lot of those stories the Buddha himself told, you know, such as in the Sutra of Wise and Foolish, I believe it's in English, okay. Then there could be something called 100 stories of something, like, you know, like that. So those stories are used as, if you will, maybe what's the English word here, anecdotal evidence or stories to be able to cultivate faith in the infallibility of karma and its you know, outcome.
Yes.
So in the middle of page 169, I believe that quote is also from a friendly letter by Ari Nagarjuna, which basically tells us, you know, what is responsible for all that kind of suffering that exists? Okay, it's basically our own actions. I mean, nobody can force us to be in the hell or in the bad migrations, right? It's not as if there are people out there who really don't like us and, you know, they bring all the suffering upon us. It's just the results of our own actions of body, speech, and mind. Okay, so if we do negative things, physically, verbally, and mentally, then we will end up in more suffering situations. On the other hand, if we do more positive things physically, verbally, and mentally, then we will find ourselves in better situations. Okay? So based upon that knowledge, as it says, we should use the best of our skills, you know, to, as you to say, the right thing, right? To engage in the positive actions and to abandon our negative actions. So we have really graduated talking about all kinds of hells. Okay. So congratulations to ourselves. Let's move to the suffering of animal world. Okay. And so according to the descriptions here, you know, one of the sufferings that animals have is the more powerful ones, they eat up the, you know, less powerful ones. I guess we humans do that too, right? My first footnote there. Translator's first footnote. And also, I mean, animals are exploited by us human beings for our own needs and reasons, okay? And so we kill them for meat, you know, we kill them for their skin, you know, and other products. And also, we call, for lack of a better word, deities or the gods, with a small g, gods, you know, also exploit, you know, the animals' services. And so when we look at the animal world, you know, what kind of sufferings animals would experience, it's kind of very sad, you know. At times they are exploited to the extent that they really don't get any break, right? We make them work really hard, okay? We beat them and we torture them in many different ways. And even the animals who live in the wild, as we say, while we human beings, you know, don't stay home, we go hunt them, okay? So these animals really have to stay very perky and sensitive. Even a little sound, maybe the sound of the water, they're like, oh my God, it's somebody after me. Okay? So they can't sleep even peacefully, right, in the wilderness because we humans invade them, you know, and chase them. And so all of these kind of sufferings animals go through. According to the levels of yogic deeds, there's no mention of a particular location for the animals. You know, they said, you know, animals are used and exploited by humans and gods. Okay, but according to, so that was, what is it, Arya Asanga, I believe. So Vasubandhu, in his Treasury of Knowledge, Abhidhamma Kosha, really talks about a location for animals. You know, they talk about scattered animals and animals in their real location in the world, so to speak. So Kishila feels that, you know, we have access to many animals and their conditions, right, in our human world. And so we really don't need, you know, Buddha's words just to be relied upon backup, right? Because we can observe the animals, what kind of, what called difficulties and problems and suffering and they face in their lives. And so that will help us to maybe at least, you know, in a sense, to make sense of spirituality. And you say, in what ways our situation is different from these animals out there? How come they have been born as animals, have to go through that? And how come I have been born as a human being at least now and have all the whatever pleasures and happiness that I enjoy, you know? And so what kind of causes, the difference in terms of causes, you know, there. So when we look at that, then we started to see that different karmas have resulted in these different situations and different types of, you know, lives, if you will. And so imagine that, you know, what kind of animals live under the ocean, we call it sea animals, and then what kind of animals out there in the mountains, kind of a rocky mountain animals there, and what kind of animals are out in the wilderness, right? And so think about this, you know, because we cannot really say that we will never be one of them. You know, because we have to allow for that possibility. Yes, right now we are human being. If one of our other karma get activated, we might very well become one of them, you know. So would we be able to tolerate that kind of a situation, right? And the kind of tortures that humans bring upon them, okay? But one of the biggest, you know, limitations that the animals have is really they do not have the same kind of the ability that we do to be able to differentiate between, you know, what is right and wrong and what is positive, what's negative, okay? And they cannot choose over that. And so once we are born as animals, we continue to create a lot of negative karmas, but we really don't have the ability to say, you know, oh, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to do positive things hereafter. So animals, you know, they don't have that ability to do that. So which means, you know, they are completely dependent upon whatever karmas they created in their past lives, and hopefully they have carried, you know, they still carry a lot of good karmas, and by the end of that life, one of those good karmas get activated, and then they will have a better rebirth. Because otherwise, you know, they create a lot of negativities, and, they, you know, the things could get, you know, worse. And then for them. But for us human beings, you know, we have this amazing capability to do the most destructive and negative thing, but at the same time to do the most constructive and, you know, positive thing. Yeah, that's our condition. And so as often the lamas say, we humans are kind of standing at the borderline, and we have to make the right decision and choose the right thing. As we would usually say, do you want to go up or go down? Kind of a simplified version, right? Basically, in other words, would we like to be better and better and move up in terms of existence, right, level of existence and become Buddha, or we would like to, you know, get worse and worse and worse, right? So we get to choose that and follow that, you know, decision accordingly, okay? And so that's why often as we say, you know, how fortunate we are to have this fully endowed human form right now, precious human life, characterized by freedoms and enriching factors. This life is a very rare and difficult to find, yet greatly meaningful. But once we lose it, very hard to find it again. Yeah? So that's why we have to rejoice and cherish our life and make the right decision and do the right thing.
You know? Singing any Kibjan jet, any dancing that, any tada, say that, and did it see this way, Mongo Debs, you wrote in a magical big fish, shut such out what did it do? So that did it so that so the did it of Javina? When it shut up Kali Kamura, so the long it is on a Tidako of the Stagin, to do doing it the day, yard yield Hungra. So that they are work, but when get it so ding it, to do doing it days, when it.
So sometimes in the documentary films, or maybe perhaps I wonder whether Geshe-la saw one of those National Geographic things about animals and their life. So he said, you know, that really helps him to develop certainty in the understanding about the life and the situation of the animals, where not only us human beings are cruel to the animals, chase them, hunt them down, but among the animals, as we say, the more powerful ones, right, the leopards and the lion and all these other vicious ones, they chase the other less powerful, and they pounce on them, you know, and they just devour the whole thing. I mean, imagine that. Can we really, I mean, tolerate that kind of a suffering, you know? And so then it's that kind of a documentary helps us to say, oh, the things that we talk about in the literature is not off the track kind of thing. You know, it's really true. And then seeing is more believing, as you would say, like, oh my God, I can't do this, you know. And so that's very helpful. So that's why Geshe-la's recommendation is, if you need to watch the movies or films, go and watch the documentaries on animals. Their life story. Yeah. Really, Geshe-la found that kind of a documentary or in a film very helpful, you know, for in his case. He said, you know, like, look at the animals, you know. What, as I said, all this kind of suffering they go through. But for us, like, if we have a little cut, we make a big deal, isn't it? We find a bandage, you know, we might go to see the doctor, and, you know, we might have all these excuses, you know, not to go to the work the next day, whatever, things, you know. But animals can't do that, you know. Out in the wilderness, when they are chased and devoured by the other ones, they can't call 911, really. Or they can say, like, you know, okay, can I go to the hospital now and, you know, do that? No, it's very different life situations and very difficult. So we have to take that into account and feel how fortunate we are and maybe develop compassion for the animals, but at the same time, how should I say, not to create the karma to be in that kind of situation.
Okay.
But I don't, I mean, the reason why I talk a little bit about these things, I know you probably already know this much more, you know, but the thing is, for us to be able to grow spiritually, to deepen our understanding, we have to reflect over and again about these situations and things like that. So in that regard, you know, I'm just talking about that so that it reminds you to reflect on the things you already know, right? Yes. So we will stop there, and we would like to welcome your questions now. And then there's the mic over there. And what is the page number here? 169. Yeah, please don't be shy. Yeah.
Thank you. Sure. First time asking questions. So.
Oh, very good.
So I guess my question is basically is... if I want to develop, say, a motivation to, I guess, to kill my laziness, because, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes you're laying down, even you're not doing anything, yeah. you're still thinking, you know what, I don't want to pick up the book because yeah. maybe I just don't have the motivation.
Right.
So in order to kill that that lack of motivation,
right.
I guess what you're saying from today's lecture is to develop a good understanding of, like, mm-hmm. motivation, so death mm-hmm. and an understanding of miserable
right.
lives.
Mm-hmm.
So... how do I even begin at that? Because you mm-hmm. can read it, but sometimes you don't quite right. imprint it in you.
Right.
So how can I get like a real mm-hmm. meaning for it?
Okay. Sure. Okay. I can't get it. And kulong di chungpa na and di chay sa chidu kala pen dinde kwa tebra bish loa pecha loa bay na kwa loa wasam ki diga sa kwa shugnu nabu ki thikmi di roba gen chay sa and lelo di pa ta seya chidu somar kwa la ya and go chom ya chidu and kandek sa shim kwa chukur es ta chik so ya kulong chay di
ane di chikwa ta lelo chumyang chabu di ta di re re ki lelo ngu yi nyen po chabu di zongchuk zangu chabu zongchuk zangu chabu la ini ngen peke chwe li ya ini teba gu gu chabu Teva 林地里一些个地方过了，但可是这样样生活的，这生意在林地做这在生意上下下什么就，那俺这老多等下没事要嘛是吧？因为林地里呀，一些些说呢，因为现在老多人都把结果是吧？嗯，把结果呢，做这结果是吧？我的其他的不，但是咱可能现在做这个培养上面，那林路需要嘛是不是？那我东西，俺土著没有别个。
That's very practical and good question. In the context of spiritual practice, you know, the way we look at it, I mean, we do talk quite a bit about what laziness is, different types of laziness, you know, that you and I have, and so how can we, counteract them with what kind of antidotes and attitudes, if you will. So one of the things, you know, that we talk about is in the case of, let's say, a particular practice that's, let's say, you know, you want to do, we think about the benefits of doing that practice. You know, when we started to see the benefits, then the sense of appreciation comes up, right? And that appreciation will help us to, inspire us, you know, to generate the right kind of motivation to engage in the action. And so therefore, like, you know, the real antidote to laziness in the Tibetan term is called zhenzhu, which is defined as enthusiasm, right? Enthusiastic effort. Yeah. But for us to be enthusiastic about whatever we want to do, practice or study, first we have to have a sense of appreciation. And that sense of appreciation comes from seeing certain benefits of doing, right? Whatever the study or the practice. Yeah. And then that will help us to have the aspiration and the motivational factor. So, as we have been talking about, karma and its outcome, as I said, as a practitioner, you know, the only thing we can rely upon with regard to the karma, especially a subtle thing, is what the Buddha has said. Okay? So if we can start to see the benefits and appreciate the Buddha's words and the description, and then that will help us to develop the motivation and then to abandon the negative karmas and to engage in the positive actions. But another thing that we talk about to deal with laziness is in how we get easily distracted by 10,000 things in our life. But we said, you know what? You know, look at our own life and how we have conducted our life thus far, right? What have we really achieved? We have wasted so much time and energy, right, doing nothing. Yeah. But now we said, pretty soon, one of these days, the death will come, right? That's not a mystery. And by then, we will have not achieved anything. Yeah. And so then, you know, thinking about the death becomes a motivational factor that, okay, before anything like that happened, I want to get something done. I want to, you know, if I could, achieve something. So those are some of the things, you know, talked about normally, how to inspire ourselves, motivate ourselves, you know. Could you pass the...
Thank you for teaching us today. No. But what I'd like to ask is, I struggle with reading and studying things that I need to for my work and to know about the world, and my Dharma studies. But right now, we have the political campaigns going on, and I feel that some people will better protect others and do more positive action. And I tend to get really excited about that. Can you help me with the balance or how I should approach that issue?
Maybe could you tell us a little bit, like, how do you get excited about whatever you're doing, campaign issue or anything like that? What really excites you?
I have gone to, I've stood on the corner and said, you know, with signs saying, help workers and help those less fortunate. I feel that some people would who are trying to become president would not pay attention to the plight of the poor and the disabled. And I think there are other people who would do that, and education, and on and on. And I want to help certain individuals go further and be elected. Let's be honest. but I struggle. Is that
is that contradicted to Dharma or not, kind of thing?
Yes.
Okay. Sure. Tom again, telling Quran this Sunjan Nam the Toshan Ashugu again. Quran can issue the Dinsa, Tajikas or Morina, that's also Lega, Tamju, Mulaga Mil Pendragon in Israel. Let the devil get up to Deblo acquired in the Yoruba again. This social Yadaji Pesaloid and Sigurisa. Then that Liguji Cannons and Divide up and again, Jovoli or Roger Chalice over the Ligudu again. Mogu Chequers over Jerry Jaguars over the Magic Chedicus or what in a teacher. And did that not happen? Are you singing with liberal your wagon? And me, Kansa Kashi Levin, and Yanko to the Yachig Mare, Kansa did Levin, and Pesha Yach and Doka Buddhism, that didn't go to the Chigorova. Did she do on the same now? Yanchi Kora can dig in the tour of Slavo, that she chairs your wife, but the Yungudosa, Chidukala and Zamzamia, that didn't assume the march she did things out of you on other wagon, didn't she? Machine I didn't Legun and Zuya dig. And sure, the Gavachago or Chago Maris, this is the Wagi. That's a global robot chair, that's me, global robot chicken, ya dumb to be out that you are again. Leguce.
Did it show the Gavar was in the show the Gavatija Jimarva?
No.
Rata, Chitunda, Lega Carson, the Majin, Chuzu Kulum Rale, Rava.
No.
The Kulumia women, that country, she had of the Carson, Kosho Draji, Kulumia women, the Gomja, then I got children to a Shagora.
No,
said that is the. Did you sample some of the conjecta? So, so big, that can do chunk do job. Any did you say the non-shank big, conjecta, so so some of time in the mall pick a pay out on that did it drop legally in it? And the portrait, you know, look what you are, you know, that going to do what touching the dressing in it, there's that go to the toll out of the world. Think on the chair that you did charge as I sing it, however. So the surgeon says, you just don't judge you, Mara.
And did again, did it say to the Gala Dian Chick when a cow than Yam Dodging on the Chi and the Chesu again, because of that two words in Jorwa? Did you say my shitty pirates? Because I want to suicide again. Then Chick was an energy in Shu Shuva or this girl again, can it? That did there's no redil my same shitty culture was over.
Legacia Ying Shuas and that, so the Samba Kursa Rondo Kuzu there was Samba Mina, go Ying Shuna Degra, Ying Shuna Lega Kupsa, Ya Yung Mare.
So what Geshe-la says is, you know, from based upon your description, you know, the first thing is, it's not really contradictory to the Dharma thing, helping the poor and the needy, and where you have your own sort of hope that if you do help get somebody elected in the office, you know, then that person is likely to support, right, the things like that. That definitely is not against the Dharma. But as we often talk about, what defines our action as a Dharma, spiritual or not, a lot of the time it really based upon our motivational factor. Okay? If our motivation is incorrect and wrong, especially, we could be engaging in what might be considered as a Dharma practice. You are in a deep meditation, but the meditation does not become Dharma practice because the, you know, our motivation has spoiled the whole thing. Okay? On the other hand, our motivation can be very positive and spiritual. The action may look very worldly action, but that could become a very, what we call, Dharma, you know, action kind of thing. Yeah, so it depends a lot on our motivational factors. So I think as an individual, we have to be honest to us and find out, you know, are there any kind of motivations mixed with this, you know, some mundane motivations, right? Am I trying to get myself known better or some kind of a name? Or am I just kind of, biased towards sudden and, you know, those like worldly, at that we have to check out, you know. Without that, if your motivation is pure just to help the poor and the needy wherever the need is, then engage in those activities, okay, you know, it's Dharma. And he also said excitement doesn't necessarily have to be bad in a sense. You know, sometimes maybe that helps you to do more, right? It's sort of a more, you know, leverage for you to get, you know, things done. But for serious practitioners who are bent upon nothing but, you know, engage in their meditation and pursue, for them, this kind of activities could be distraction, right? But for most of us, he said, we do mixed Dharma and other stuff. So that's fine, you know. But somebody who's completely dedicated to retreat or something, then getting involved in political campaign, even with the best of your motivation, all of these things are distraction. Okay, yeah. Yes, we need a mic back.
Thank you for your teachings. You've said that One way to purify, you know, to practice or to do some purification is at the end of the day to think about the good things or, and the bad thing and, you know, get a sense of regret. Mm-hmm. I have the feeling at the end of the day that I've done lots of bad things that I don't even know about or, you know, like maybe I run, you know, on some insect or things like this.
Right.
What can I do to purify these negative actions? Mm-hmm. And one question I think I read somewhere that reciting the Vajrasattva the Vajrasattva mantra would be one of it.
Right.
Is that true? Thank you.
Tōngba kēng tērīng sōngchō nāma tō chēnā shūgatō wā kēng tēnā kēng kētā kētī kā nā sō ngā sā bēnā tā lō chōng lō shīshā nā nīmā chē lō sōsō kēng tī kēyā chō rō wā kē wā kā chō chē tōng kā chō rō wā kēng kē wā chē nā kā wā kōm anī tī kwa chē nā tē lī yā gyōba chē wō sō rō wā gyōba chē tī kō shāk tōm kī anī kōng rē sō rō wā kēng inā kō rā sā mō rā yā anī nīmā chē nā bēnā sōsā hām tī kwa chē nā hā mā kō mā kō yō rō wā sō rō wā kēng tā tē bā mō rō chē nā bū sē shā wā sō rō tā tī kē tī tā kā tā chāng tā kārī chē yō rē sō rō wā anī chī kī sī lē tī tī sī kī tō sī kā chē sī rī bēnā yīgjā yō rō wā kēng dōjī sī mē yīgjā chāng nā tī lī pīng kī rē sī tī rē sī tī nī rē rē bē sā kēng You know, Geshe-la, I agree with you that, you know, in everyday life, you know, we end up doing a lot of negativities that we even don't realize we did it, you know. Sometimes it's due to our own life situation. We have to walk, we have to work, and then in the process of that, you know, we end up killing a lot of insects or do whatever the things happen. But that kind of action is you know, not to undermine it, but it's considered as, in a Buddhist language, called action done but not accumulated. Okay, so I mean, there are a lot of things to talk about karma, and this kind of negative karma is, you know, relatively speaking, you know, what we call it, insignificant negative karma. Insignificant in the sense it is there, right? But it's not going to be a terrible, terrible thing to begin. But at the end of the day, as we said, when we try to think about, try to recall whatever negativities we could recall, purify, but as we said, you know, I'm sure I've done other negativities I can't, you know, imagine, but I would like to confess, regret for, right? So you do it in a generic sense. And then it's not enough just simply to, you know, regret for the negativities, but we have to apply some antidote, isn't it? So this is where the Vajrasattva meditation recitation is one of the ways to do that. I think from tantric point of view, often lamas, they emphasize that, right? And the Geshe-la said when he gave the Vajrasattva blessing initiation, he did the same thing, said, you know, you can do the Vajrasattva meditation and recitation of 100 syllable mantras, okay, so to purify your negativity. But from Sutrayana point of view, means that which is not tantra practice, there are other ways to do. And one of the popular most things is, you know, confessing to the 35 Buddhas of confession. I mean, it's a long prayer, you know. But I think it's in English somewhere too. You know? And so by reciting that and then, you know, doing prostrations, we can purify our karma. And there are other ways to do that, you know. And as Geshe-la said, you know, I think at the time of the Vajrasattva blessing, if you recite the Vajrasattva 100 syllable mantra 21 times, then do the dedication, whatever negativity we might have created that day, it is not going to be increased thereafter. Yes, you can sort of put a cap on it, I think. Yeah. But if you accumulate 100,000 of those, then you can really purify serious negative karmas as well. Okay, and okay, so that's all I have. He meant something, he said something else. I don't know, he said what he meant exactly. It's the karma which is done but not accumulated, you know. So that's right. Yeah. So he said it right. So sometimes there are, we call, sorry, karma accumulated but not done. That's what he thought he said. You know, I said, no, he didn't say that. So, yes, sorry.
So this is more of a Western question. Really.
There's no such thing as Western question, yeah.
So really, are these hell realms, are they real?
Real, okay.
I mean, do they really exist? Or is it just symbols or just, know, or just to motivate us to practice even more?
Sure. Kurang kita tanda dekian kan song kudung ini sebab rawagan. Tadi nubjo bagi cuba rawucak itu serawagan. Tapi nyawa saya di mana dua baju orang. Yang ada dia dengan tu lihat sece ya aku saya semua bayar cuci dia orang dengan tu jual sece orang kerana serawagan.
Tapi
mana dia orang sekolah dah. Si dua
orang. Tadi kan saya di mana dia orang sana ni. Tapi mana dia orang lagu sekolah dia. Yo tadi je. Tadi tu lagi mungkin saya orang
wah.
Mungkin Tilia, Linkit, any Kansa Insi, Mansi, and the Rutaman and the Sheva Yard, the Pizza, Kansa Sky, Samari. So, Legit of Dungan, anything is called Leongora, only Leongora.
Takos again, Yawa Yor is a son of Jumuzis, I received.
Oh, this is what you are, that is those days.
Kishla said, according to the descriptions and going by the Buddha's word, they said they do really exist. You know, because I said, you know, when you say exist, you mean, is there a location we can find, you know? Because a lot of the suffering description we talk about, it's not like it's already out there created and you just end up there. You know, according to one's own karmas, right, you know, all these different sufferings, you know, are experienced and created. And there are a lot of discussions according to different Buddhist schools of thought. They said, you know, there are those hell guardians, you know, who torture you, who cut you into pieces, whatever. Do they really exist? Or what is that? So different schools have different opinion about that, but usually they're saying they really don't exist. But because of your karma, it looks like they appear, and, you know, you go through the suffering. But he said, yeah, based upon the description, sometimes there are a lot of stories being told by Buddha or somebody else, you know, how somebody comes back to human world and bring the message from the hell, said this is what's happening. So he thinks, yeah, they do exist. Okay, so maybe enough for today. Huh? Oh, how about the people who are behind glass wall? Any questions? Yes, sure.
I guess my last question.
Yeah.
I guess I want to develop more enthusiasm. So I guess my question is about faith.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do in order to increase it, I guess? What can I look for in the Buddha and the teacher in order to develop that faith?
Oh, because, okay.
I mean, right now, I mean, when I see, I just see, you know what I mean?
Right.
So there's like, what do I look for, I guess?
Sure.
And what can
sure.
try it? Yeah.
Okay, I got you. I got you.
I don't know.
This goes, we're just trying to be more specific and elaborate on the answer we gave you before. Like when you think about the benefits of, going for refuge in Buddha, enlightened being, and the Dharma or the teaching and the spiritual community, we think about their qualities, you know. And in the case of a Buddha, of course, Buddha has innumerable qualities, but there are a couple of them which we emphasize and think about for us to be able to, develop faith in the Buddha. And number one is Buddha's omniscient wisdom, right, enlightened wisdom. And that wisdom can perceive everything that exists in minute details, right? You and I have certain wisdom and knowledge, but very limited in many ways. But Buddha has that, what called wisdom. I mean, in the Buddhist literature, you know, we can talk about uncontaminated wisdom. There is this different 21 aspects of this different thing like that, but we are not going to go there now. But has that omniscient wisdom that perceives everything that exists. So Buddha can realize the attitudes of each and every one of us, you know, what suits us, what doesn't suit us. So that kind of wisdom there. The another one is Buddha has what we call this unbiased infinite compassion. You know, Buddha doesn't favor those, you know, who follow him or who are against, you know, who are nice to him, make offerings. You know, Buddha's compassion extends equally towards, you know, strangers and friends or whatever. As a matter of fact, you know, for Buddha, there's no strangers and friends. It's all equal. So this unbiased compassion, which is very different from ours, right? Compassion. And then Buddha is someone who has followed the path and completely enlightened and is free of all the fears and dangers and suffering that we are talking about, right? So based upon Buddha's own experiences, he has taught us the way to be out of suffering. Otherwise, you know, I mean, imagine that if two of us fall into a dungeon or a mud, we can't help each other because we both are sinking in, right? Somebody who is out of this danger could help pull us out. So like that, Buddha is free of all the suffering, has all the abilities, so therefore could help us. And then the fourth one is Buddha has the most skillful method or the means, right? Somebody wants to help but doesn't know how to help or has the ability to help, then nothing works. But in the case of the Buddha, has what we call, the Sanskrit word is upaya, the most skillful means to be able to guide us, to be able to help us. So when we kind of think about these different qualities, or the qualities of Buddha's body, speech, and mind, and then that helps us to develop appreciation for Buddha's enlightened qualities, and then cultivate faith in Buddha. And Buddha is someone who really happened, right? It's not it's not a fairy tale we're talking about. There's a whole history behind that. The Shakyamuni Buddha who was born in India and, you know, and became Buddha and all that. Okay? Yeah. Once again, there's Shao Shokchi.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, did it.
Thank you.
Could you start English, please? Yeah, anybody. Lord Rinpoche first, eh? You have.
O peerless Savior and Supreme Teacher, Suddhodana's son, O the 17 masters and adepts, Nagarjuna and Asanga and so on, O Dipamkaras, as well as Sovereign Father Tsongkhapa, gloriously appear here today to grant auspiciousness. On the great path leading to the heart of enlightenment, you've traversed by means of the perfect threefold discipline and have enhanced ever higher the realizations of the enlightened qualities. O glorious Guru, we offer our supplications at your feet. Pray return gloriously to propagate the teaching of Lobsang by tying well the sash of monastic disciplinary precepts and generating the altruistic intention to free all beings. Engage in the tantric yogas of the two stages. Think of the unbearable pain of the sentient beings who are enveloped in the forces of the five degenerations and to open wide the lotus groves of the Buddha's teachings. May your incarnation appear soon as a source of merit for us. O infinite Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, you are the embodiment of uncontaminated and immutable great bliss. Kindly pour on us now your blessings. Rains of nectar from the great clouds of your pervasive, pure and bright wisdom and compassion to eliminate our distress. We pray to you, an incomparable great hero, who has perfectly realized within his mind the threefold essex, a pure essence of the extensive system of Tathagata's teachings. He who has raised a parasol of Dharma in hundreds of directions. Your body is a sun of all wonderful qualities. But all of a sudden it set into solitary peace. You have committed before infinite Buddhas to work for Dharma and sentient beings. You could not have given up your commitment. However, your presence depends on the fortunes of disciples, for the power of dependent arising is inconceivable. Please reincarnate soon as a new light of Dharma, out of your compassion that never abandons us. Please return soon as a supreme spiritual guide, a treasure house of the immense teaching of Buddha, a voice that eloquently elucidates the teaching that suits individuals' disposition and capacities. Please return soon as a great Dharma king, who will be known in all directions for smashing into pieces a mountain of misguided teachings and views, through the power of your thunderbolt lightning of the three reasonings. Please return soon just like your previous self, an expert in the five major sciences of Buddhism, whose eloquent words and articulation of the teaching captivate the hearts of all the scholars and activate deep appreciation in pure enthusiastic minds. Please return soon as a spiritual guide, endowed with complete knowledge, kindness and dedication in regard to the perfect view, meditation and conduct, one who facilitates the opening of the blossomed lotus that is the golden teaching of Tsongkhapa, by the power of the three infallible jewels, by the power of dependent arising of unchanging emptiness, by the truth of our pure thoughts and devotions, may all our aspirations be spontaneously fulfilled.
Okay, could you pass the...
Nam mô vô song cứu độ chí tôn bổn sư tịnh phạn thái tử. Nam mô 17 cao tổ chư hiền thánh tăng long thọ vô trước. Nam mô Dipakara cùng tông cơ pha tôn vương thủ phụ. Quang lâm đương chốn hiện tại hiện tiền ban truyền phước nhủ. Thênh thang đạo lộ trực chỉ chân tâm kiến tánh đẳng giác. Ngài đã siêu việt do nghiêm túc giữ ba tạng giới luật, rồi lại phát huy bay bổng tuyệt vời bồ đề hạnh chứng. Tôn sư quang vinh tứ chúng thịnh cầu gót sen lễ lại, xin mau trở lại quang huy truyền bá giáo pháp lô sang, bằng sự thắt chặt đa giới nghiêm minh thiền môn tự viện, rồi lại khởi tâm từ bi đại nguyện giải thoát chúng sanh, tin chuyên hành trì du già mệnh định nhị phần chứng đắc. Xin luôn thương tưởng thống khổ bất cam ba cõi hữu tình, thường bị bao phủ trao đảo khôn nguôi mãnh lực ngũ trược, đưa tay rộng mở bát ngát vườn sen giáo lý Phật Đà, xin mau tái sanh nhanh chóng hiện hành phước nguồn tứ chúng. Nam mô vô biên chư Phật chư Bồ Tát, các ngài thị hiện cát nát báo thân của chân đại lạc bất biến trong ngần, xin trải từ tâm ân cần phù hộ, mưa thánh thủy từ mê đại độ, đủ hệ bi tình phổ rạng ngời, tận diệt thống khổ trước thời, niệm danh ngài bậc đại hùng vô sánh, đã hoàn toàn chứng pháp tánh nơi tâm, ba tạng giới luật cốt tủy uyên thâm của đại thừa Như Lai truyền giáo, ngài nâng cao lộng vòng pháp bảo, chăm hướng vươn lan tỏa muôn phương, báu thân ngài chói nhòa phẩm hạnh, sao bỗng nhiên nhập cảnh bích chi, ngài từng trước Phật thệ nghi, hứa luôn hoằng pháp làm vì độ sanh, ngay ngày hạnh không đành bỏ nguyện, tùy phước đệ tử mà ngài hiện thế, lý nhân duyên chẳng thể nghĩ bàn, xin mau hóa sanh thành ánh đạo vàng, từ bi mãi chẳng bỏ đàn bơ vơ, xin mau trở lại là đại đạo sư, như kho tàng chứa kinh thư vô lượng, lời tuyên giảng soi đường pháp bảo, khế căn cơ thiện xảo độ sanh, xin mau trở lại là đại pháp vương, lừng danh kim cổ mười phương tán đồng, phá tan núi mỹ pháp lồng tà kiến, tam đoạn luật xét nghiến sấm vang, xin mau trở lại như thân đời trước, đắc ngũ minh kiến thức uyên thâm, biện tài vô ngại lý giải pháp âm, học giả khẩu phục hằng tâm, thiện giả cảm nhận hồng ân nức lòng, xin mau trở lại là bậc đạo sư, thiên thư thông thái mẫn từ tận tâm, chánh khiến định mạng chuyên cần, ươm sen hé nhụy hương lên pháp đàn, của tông khách ba ý ngọc lời vàng, do thần lực tam bảo liên ứng, do thần lực duyên khởi tương ưng, với tánh không bất nhị bất trùng, do tâm lực trí thành cùng kính ngưỡng, xin cho sở nguyện chúng đệ tử được tức thời viên mãn.
Rabbi, go away, Jingan, the Pendant, the Wall, Mother.
Okay, once again, Geshe-la is busy with the blessings, so please postpone your visit to him for the next week. Okay.